Well, hello and welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I welcome you to this recording. Thank you for listening in, and I appreciate your diligence and your stick-to-itiveness, if that's a word. Yeah, that ain't a word. I just made that up. But your dedication to the Lord. I love seeing and hearing of people that that serve the Lord on purpose, that serve Him because you want to and not because you have to. Somebody that genuinely loves the Lord with their heart. And what a special thing the Lord has given us to be able to love Him with our heart, isn't it? And if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. Today, we're going to go back into our ABCs of Christian growth, ABCs of Christian growth in letter C. And we are about to wind this ABC study up of the church. And we have seen quite a bit. And studied quite a bit. We've studied what the meaning of church is in the scriptures, and hopefully you have that down pat and concrete, and you don't have any doubt about what the Bible's talking about when it says church and churches, and that the church is a New Testament institution, and that it also is an assembly, and they are local assemblies, and that the assemblies must be visible, they must be organized, they must be constituted, and they must be local. Must be local. Now, I think I give you the scriptures all the way up to where we're at right now. And the New Testament church has a head, and we know who that head is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and are thankful for that. We have a Savior who died for us that is our Lord. You can't say that for Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna or all those other people that are claiming to be something special. They couldn't do nothing for the people that followed them. They couldn't save them. They couldn't keep them out of hell. They couldn't keep them from dying. They can't keep sickness away from them. They didn't make them no promises and just lied to them all the way through. Lots of people died and went to hell because of that. And I'm glad that our Lord backs it up with His Word. And I have a written document right in front of me that tells me that my Lord loves me and what He says and what He says He's going to do, and has saved me. He dwells in me, and He has shown me proof of His faithfulness. Hadn't the Lord done something special for you in your life that you could that you can thank Him and thank Him for His kindness that you didn't deserve, and you utterly didn't deserve it, but in His kindness He did it anyway? Can you testify to that? I can. More than one time, more than a lots and lots of times. And the longer we live, and the more we look back at the Lord's kindness and His faithfulness in teaching us, and God the Holy Ghost's faithfulness in keeping us and comforting us, we have to give Him glory. It makes us love Him more. And don't be scared to love the Lord. Love Him in private and love Him openly, because He's real. And He is real. And no matter what the despisers say, and no matter what the hypocrites and the idiots and all the apostates and people that don't want to hear the Lord's name, fooey on them. Who cares what they think? He's our Lord. And we're not going to be ashamed of Him. And we're going to give Him glory whether they like it or not. So they can just poof away and go play in the kiddie pile up at the restaurant or something, where all the ball, different color balls and stuff, and get in there and play there, and kick some more slats out of their cribs from being pull their diaper up too, huh? Yeah, okay. Well, the local church has officers, and we figured out who the officers was by the scriptures. They're the bishops and the deacons. And we also found out that that scriptural words that the Bible uses is bishop, elder, and pastor. Remember that? And we went on down through there and talked about the local church makes decisions. We've seen more than one instance in the scriptures where it showed us how the local church operated concerning making decisions and local congregational government, where the congregation votes on decisions that need to be made, and by doing that, they give the Holy Ghost the priority of making the decision. They give the Holy Ghost, we give the Holy Ghost by everybody voting, we give God the choice to make His will up through the vote. And we don't lean for or against, we just make the vote according to how we feel that we're being led by God the Holy Ghost, and then we add it up and there it is. And it's probably no different than them casting lots in the book of Acts and things like that. And we do it to honor the Lord and to find out the Lord's will, and the Lord honors it that way. The local church is an independent institution. We talked about that, and that it is independent from other local assemblies. No matter how many assemblies there are, we're not in competition with other assemblies. That's not the way the Lord wants it. He don't want competition between churches. There is no competition. We're all one in the Lord. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor male or female, or bond or free. We're all one in the Lord and the body of Christ, even though we are in different locations and different assemblies. And we also talked about that local church should be separate from governments. Local church should, we can cooperate with one another. And then we got to the part where local church is a commissioned organization, and that's where we're going to begin today. But I had a pretty good one to share with you today. I called my mother and father a while ago, and I congratulated them on their anniversary today. And they've been married 57 years, and I couldn't help myself. I just need to call them and tell them thank you for, and how proud I was of them, and thank you, and what character, and thank you for just staying married in spite of all the foolishness in the world, and the way the media and everybody else would recommend. Nowadays, it is such a stinking shame and without character. You talk about people are lucky to be married 5 years. And divorce for any reason. You can go down to the local department store, particularly Staples, and they got a little kit down there that you can buy, and all it is like a little package that you can buy with some paper in it. Kind of looks like cardstock in an envelope. And what it is a made up kit of documents to file for your own divorce. And you can go right there and pick it off the shelf among all the cards and the letters and everything else you can buy in there. You can get a ready-made kit to go divorce your husband or divorce your wife. And I wrote a little article a while back on that in a newsletter, and congratulated them for being advertising divorce, and told them how we didn't need that, and how shameful it was for them to have it on their shelf. I don't know if they took that to heart or not, but either way, you know, it is a shame, and it's without character, and it's against the Word of God. The Lord made marriages for life, and the Lord said that with His own mouth. From the beginning, this was not so, He said, but because of the hardness of your hearts. And if you and your husband or you and your wife are having troubles, so what? So what? You're having troubles. That comes with marriage, doesn't it? And it comes with staying together and growing together and learning how to get through problems and everything else. And the Bible says because of the hardness of your hearts is the only reason that Moses allowed. There ought to be forgiveness. And if you're having problems, that's what your pastor's for, and that's what the church is for. So you can be comforted, and you can go, and you can find the things that you need to fix these problems so you can carry on and give the Lord glory. I believe 57 years gives God glory. And you don't think in 57 years my mother and father's been through some times where they disagreed and they argued and they fought and blah, 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 with three sons and a daughter. And you better believe they did. But they stayed together anyway. And I told Daddy thank you, and Daddy told me, he said, well, it gets to the point to where you're scared to leave. I said, well, that's a good way to look at it, I guess. I said, I guess there's some truth in that. He said, yeah. He said, after a long time, he said, you done got so used to it. You get out there, you say, I can't live without her. You know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You grow so close together that you can't live without her. You become one. And if you're having marital problems, you keep praying about it, and don't you give in, and don't you give up. And you fix that thing. If it's fixable, you fix it. And you let the Lord fix it. And let there be forgiveness. And have some integrity and some respect for one another. And some forgiveness. And give the Lord glory with your marriage, okay? But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. That's a bunch of good news. So, we're talking about the local church as a commissioned organization. Now, what do we mean by that? What we mean is the local church is not just something that assembles and comes together for no reason. It has a mission. It has a mission, and it has been commissioned. And the Lord Jesus Christ established His churches to continue His work on the earth. The Lord said, I come not to condemn. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He said, I come to save it. And when he left a commission for the local church to carry on his work of leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ, leading the world to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting the gospel out to the church and preaching the Word of God and preaching about His second coming. The Lord's second coming is the main thing that's in the Scripture more than anything else. It's in there more than salvation. It's more than baptism. It's talked about more than anything else, even the Lord's crucifixion or His ascension. His second coming is the second advent is the main thing in the Scriptures that has been talked about in the Scriptures more than any other important thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ established His churches to continue His work on this earth, and this is not a social ministry, but a spiritual one. The Lord left us with God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We're not friends with this world. We're not friendly with the world. We're here for a reason. If the Lord wanted us out of here, He would have taken us when He saved us and took us out of here immediately. But He left us here. And He left us here for a reason. And He left us in an unkind place. This world was not kind to Christians, and it's not kind to Christ followers. And neither is the flesh. The flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and the enemy walks to and fro down here and seeking whom he may devour. So the Lord, in his way of thinking, wouldn't have left us right in the middle of the battlefield if there wasn't a mission, you see. So just before the Lord returned from heaven, he left his church with what is known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, and you're probably already there, you probably know that scripture better than I do, it said, this is the Lord talking, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Notice how the verse individualizes every one of the Trinity members. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All three separate, all three one. Three in one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay, so we see that there is, that was not a suggestion. The Lord didn't say if you wanted to. He laid it down as a commission, as he gave us a mission and gave us a reason for being here, and that was to tell others and teach them about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Word of God, and then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord commanded us in His Word. And He said, gave His promise that He's with us always, even to unto the end of the world. So that means the world's going to end. And there were some specific words that He used. I guess you'd call them verbs in these verses. And let's take a look at them. First, He said, "Go ye therefore." So we see go. That's an action word. That's something that you have to do on purpose. Go ye, therefore. Go. And then He also said, and teach all nations. He said to go, and then He said to teach. These are things that we have to do on purpose, and we have to take action to do them. And then He also said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Another word in there. Did you catch it? Baptizing. Go, teach, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then finally, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, it'd be very unkind for the Lord to command us to go and to teach and to baptize, and then also to teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, if He did not give us all the things that He commanded us. Right? How can you teach something that you have no literature on? How can you teach something? The Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. It'd be very unkind of the Lord to command us to observe all the things that He commanded us and to teach the things that He commanded us if we did not have the things that He commanded us. Did you get that? Okay. So the Great Commission is repeated in all four of the Gospels, in all the Gospels, and also in the book of Acts. Let's read them and see exactly what the mission of a local church is. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Luke 24:47, He said, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And that's where it began, isn't it? Okay. And then John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then we see in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Okay, be unkind and false for Paul. Brother Paul, to write us and tell us to be steadfast and unmovable and then always abounding in the work of the Lord if there were not a work to do for the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The Lord will bear fruit from your labor, from your sincere for the right reason labor and your service to the Lord. The Lord will see that some kind of fruit comes out of it. You know, whether somebody gets saved right away or whether somebody repents and turns back to the Lord and serves Him again, or whether it is restored into fellowship, or whether somebody completely and utterly rejects the gospel and dies in their sins and stands at the white throne judgment, and your testimony is witness against them, and they're sentenced to the lake of fire. Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. You say, "Well, Brother TV, I don't want anything I say to send nobody. I don't either. I don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire, but it's not my choice. Only thing I can do is what the Lord has given us opportunity to do, and that is be a witness and be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, you just living day to day and living for the Lord and letting your light shine draws men to the light. This world is full of darkness. This people are walking to and fro in this earth, and they're walking up and down in this earth, and this earth is nothing but a black, dark, spiritually dark place. And people do not know anything about the Lord. They're lost and without God in the world. And when they see somebody pass by or hear somebody say praise the Lord or something spiritual comes by them, it's like a light flashing in a dark place, and you just see the light go by. And the Lord said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And it's very important for us to be spiritual and walk in the Spirit, because that is that's our light, and we need to let it shine so that people can be drawn to the Lord. Okay, so we see that the church is not here for just for the reason for being here. We do have a mission. Our mission is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to teach them the Word of God and what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us, and also that Jesus is returning and that we should be waiting for Him and working for Him and be prepared for His coming and not be ashamed at His coming. And we should take care of one another and love one another with Christ's love, not the love of the world. The love of the world is wicked, but with Christ's love. Different kind of love altogether. In Colossians chapter 4:16, Matthew, we've seen that the Bible says, go ye into all the world. First we are to go, and then we are to teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach that book. And that's why I was thanking you for listening to this to begin with. I'm not no fancy, full-blown, whatever you want to call it, fancy-smancy teacher, and I don't claim to be. But I love the Lord, and the Lord's taught me some truth, and I want to share it, and I'm trying to share it, and I pray that that God the Holy Ghost will use it and to bless your life and bless your heart and teach you the Word of God, and that you will accept the truth. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a promise from the Lord. And the next thing we want to look at now, it's the church is a local, the church is, the local assemblies are a commissioned organization. The church itself, the body of Christ, is commissioned. And it goes all the way down to the geographical local churches. Every local church has the same commission. Okay. But they are their own entity, and they might do things a little differently. If the Bible gives us leeway, some things the Lord commands, some things the Lord leaves up to you to be able to do it. The way that the Holy Ghost leads you as to how your flock is and all kinds of different things, because people are different. And let's see here. And the Lord worked it out beautifully. But the next thing is the local church has ordinances. And what is an ordinance? Well, ordinance is simply an order. They're orders. And the Lord left us with a commission, but He also left us with some orders. And two orders particularly. And the ordinances of the church are, first, to be baptized. And we're not going to go into that right now, because we're going to go into that in study number 9, which is the letter I. And that's going to be on the topic of immersion. Immersion, or parentheses, baptism. And then the second ordinance of the church, or another ordinance of the church, is the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table, or communion. All three are scriptural ways of saying it. But the Lord left this commandment and order for us to observe this when they were in the upper room, remember? When they had the supper there before the crucifixion, before He went to the Mount of Olives to be betrayed. I tried to do it again, didn't I? To try to be betrayed, or to go there to be betrayed. Before He left there, He was talking to the apostles up there and the other people that were in the room, and He gave the order to remember Him and remember His death by the cup and by the broken bread. And the cup represented what? His shed blood. And the broken bread represented what? His broken body. And both of those helped us to remember what? His death till He come. Okay? Nothing supernatural about it. It's symbolic. Both of them are symbolic, and we are to do them. We are to do them symbolically to represent something that's already taken place. And nothing, you don't get any farther in your salvation. There's nothing supernatural about it. But very important, because our Lord ordered us to do that, and is very important to Him, and it serves a purpose here also. And it's mostly for testimony and for public, publicly identifying yourself with Christ, and and the Lord's Supper, remembering His death until He come. And the Lord has made way where we can all come together and remember Him and do that. So we've seen so far the local church is a commissioned organization. It has a reason. It has a purpose. Okay, and the local church has ordinances. Now that Lord's Supper, the letter I, which is immersion, is the one that we're going to study baptism in. And then in the letter L, study number 12, is going to be the Lord's Supper. We'll study that in that study. So we're not going to go any farther or speak any more about that. But the local assembly, the local New Testament church, has ordinances, and those are what they are. Okay? And then also, the local New Testament church is to be financed. Is to be financed. And the Lord has set up a system, and you can see it also in the Old Testament. It's kind of similar to the Old Testament, the way it's set up. But the Lord has a way for the church to pay its bills and to make sure that everybody has what's coming to them. and what they deserve. It says that a man is worthy of his hire, and that if a man won't work, he ought not eat. And so the local church is to be financed, and that involves an entire study itself also, and that's study number 20, which is called the letter T, tithing and stewardship. And we will study that entirely and go through that and what the Bible has to say about that. Some interesting studies, huh? And I mean, you're gonna know quite a bit when we're done with this. And this is just the ABCs. We're just staying right here with the ABCs. This is good stuff. This is stuff that we talked about that everybody should know, that everybody in the church should know. Hey, let me ask you something. Since we've started, have you found out something that you didn't know before? I learn every time I go through these studies, and I've been through these studies hundreds of times with troubled men, and I learn something every time I go through it, and also am appreciative of it reinforcing my faith and my truth. And that's what's wonderful about having studies like this, is that you study them and you get it in your mind, and the Holy Ghost is able to bring those things back up as you need them. And then you go back over it again, and it reinforces in another place and in another place and another place. And we're able to just become stronger and stronger and grow and grow and grow. And that's the purpose of these studies, is to help you grow. And we start out with the ABCs. And don't be offended by that. You're going to find out that the ABCs is not grammar school either. So the local church is to be financed. We will study that in tithing and stewardship. The local church has ordinances. One of them is the Lord's Supper. We will study that in the letter L, the Lord's Supper. One of them, of the ordinances, is baptism, and we refer to that as immersion. And you'll understand that when we get into the letter I, and you'll know why we call it immersion. And we will study the things having to do with baptism and the false things having to do with baptism in the world today that are completely unscriptural. The local church is a commissioned organization. The Lord said, go teach, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So we'll stop right there, and we will probably close out this study on the next recording, and we will talk about the local church and you. The local church in you. What is your relationship, and what, just some things having to do with how you can be blessed by your local assembly and the one that you belong to, or going to belong to, and what you can do to make it a blessing to others. So we'll talk about that on the next recording, and I thank you for tuning in here and doing these studies. Let me give you the scriptures for today, or for this recording. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. John chapter 20, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. All right. Well, thank you so much, and I love you with Christ's love, and always look forward to being back with you and studying the Word of God. Bye-bye.